This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Top of the hour right here at 11 o'clock on Grant and Danny. Second of four today. We were just joined by Carl Hagelin. It was great as always. Huge win for the Caps last night. They are the best team in town right now. One of our two recent champions, Hagelin, was presented by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Home of 83 or it's free. FH Fur will clear any slow or clogged drain for just $83. And if they can't, it is free. Details at FHFur.com. We are going to get you set for Thursday Night Football before we get out of here in the 1 o'clock hour. Lamar Jackson, Danny's expected to play. It's great to watch him in primetime, man.
So fun, dude. And the Jets are actually pretty good against the run, so I'm fascinated to see what it'll look like, right? Because the Ravens' rush offense that Jackson spearheads is unstoppable. They are great, right, with all the different fakes and the things that make you account for. Their pass defense, talking about the Jets, is terrible. So I'm wondering how the Ravens are going to approach this tonight with Jackson banged up and Andrews banged up.
Bad matchup, really, as far as the Jets are concerned for the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
They're better at running the ball than throwing the ball. But I was thinking about this because you're right. The Jets statistically this year have been, if not the best run defense in the league, one of them. I don't know how much that helps you against Lamar Jackson. Everything's about ball fakes, and you never know who's got the ball and which direction he's going.
It's like you're good against rush defenses or rush offenses, but not that one. One's different.
This is different than everything else. So I don't know how relevant that'll be, but we'll find out tonight. The big question is how healthy is Lamar Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
He's been dealing with a quad injury this week. They're saying he's going to play. But what if he just doesn't run tonight and he stands in the pocket and throws the football? And that would be pretty telling and revealing. My guess is if he's playing, he's way closer to 100% than we all think.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way, especially with their record right now and where they're at in the standings, I don't think they would risk him if he was 60% or something like that, right? For him to play means he's fine. And I think we'll over-talk about his quad and how hurt he is. But the fact that he's playing tells you everything you need to know.
I think it's well said. I mean, especially with a short week, knowing what you've got coming down the stretch, I mean, as bad as the Jets are, as good as your defense has played, you would say if he's not good to go, then they would sit
this
week, right?
If he's feeling his quad when he wakes up today and it's kind of barking a little bit and he plays, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If he sets it back and he's out for a month, he might miss a playoff game.
That's right. That's what's at stake here.
So that's crazy to me. My guess is he's fine and we're over-talking about the quad, but we'll watch him. We'll see tonight. It's great that he's not playing at one opposite the Redskins because we actually get to put eyeballs on the likely most valuable player in the NFL who's out doing what we saw Robert Griffin do.
It's amazing.
In the same offense back in 2012, crazy enough, 7 years ago. We started the show, and we're talking right now about Anthony Rendon. You guys want to weigh in, and we get that, so we're letting you do that at 800-636-1067. I've got mixed emotions here, and my first thought is that I cannot believe he left. And I don't mean that he didn't re-sign as much as the team didn't re-sign him. But I don't think it's completely their fault. I don't know how badly he wanted to be here. From what I have gathered, he didn't call them after he got his offer from the Angels and give them a chance to match. Not that he was unwilling to discuss with the Nationals, but they made an offer of around $215 million. I don't think there was an offer after that from what I've been able to glean. And he wanted no deferments, and they wanted to pay him deferments, and that was kind of the end of the negotiation or the road, so to speak. That didn't work out, and he didn't want anything that involved the types of offer that they were giving him. But if he really wanted to be here, I would have thought last night when he got the offer he wanted from the Angels, he calls back. I think you'd do this if you're happy here.
Sure,
at the Fan.
It's a normal courtesy.
He'd say, hey, I got a company offering me this. Do you want me or you don't? Match this or top this if he needs to, whatever.
Or come close to this, whatever.
So I think there's a lot of balls in the air here, but I think the Nats don't like paying bats as much as they like playing pitchers,
true,
number one. Philosophically, they'd rather pay starting pitchers. Number two, if you don't want to do a deal that has deferments, you're probably not signing with this team for a lot of money.
So I think,
number three, Rendon was very happy to leave here go to a warmer climate, closer to home out in Texas, go to the West Coast, and set up shop. He had no ties here. He was appointed to the Nationals in the draft. He didn't choose here. And it's not like he stayed here during the offseason or anything. I think sometimes we forget that. It's not like this was home for him in any way. It was just a random city. It was Milwaukee to me. If I worked in Milwaukee for 6 years and then I had an opportunity to go somewhere else, maybe I would do that.
So I think at the end, whenever this happened, maybe it didn't turn. I don't know. It's hard to say. But I think at the end, I'm 100% with you. We got to this point where he said, I'm out of here. Right? Now, who do you want to blame for that? I think that's a reasonable debate. You know, how did we get here? I think by the time, this is my view on it, by the time he got that last offer, right, which is the, by all accounts, 210 or 215 with a bunch of deferments that wasn't even close after they'd been negotiating back and forth, it sounds like, at various points over the course of the year, reading Jesse Dougherty's story about it, going back to previous negotiations that they've had over the course of months and years, kind of putting all those quotes in context, I think he basically said, they're not close. They're not going to get close. So I'm out of here. That's it. And that's why you don't get the call back, right? That's why you don't say, hey, do you guys want to match this? I think he's soured on
maybe,
the
but if you want to be here, you still make that call.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. Yeah. I think he no longer wanted to be here.
That's important.
Yeah, I think it's very important. I think he soured on the Nationals after their $210 million bunch of deferments offer that wasn't close to what it was going to take.
Probably.
And he said, that's it. I'm out of here. I don't blame him for that, by the way. I'm not upset at him about that. I'm upset that the Nationals, you know, kind of knew what the parameters were and never got close. That's what's upsetting to me. So ultimately, by the end, I think Rendon had his, whether it's 1 or 2 feet, I think he was out the door. I think once you had that offer that wasn't close, wasn't going to be anywhere near what he wanted, and they did their move where they go, this isn't the negotiation point. This isn't the starting point. This is our offer, best and final. Take it or leave it. And that's what they did with Harper. That's what they did with Ian Desmond. That's what they did with Jordan Zimmerman. They've done that before. That's their pattern.
It served them very well. Negotiating tactic, for the record.
It served them very well.
When you're not actually exchanging numbers and going back and forth. And from my understanding, that's how Boris does it too. It's not, the two of them are kind of oil and water in some ways, even though they do a lot of business, because it's a, here's our offer, here's our offer. I think it's harder to do that than actually going back and forth like some agents and some teams do.
Uh-huh.
Let's get back to the phone. Should let people know, though, we are 50 minutes away.
It's all happening.
50 minutes away from cutting and shaving Chris Russell's head right here at 106.7 The Fan. We're going downstairs at noon. You can be here. So if you're near Half Street, you're near Nats Park, or you want to drive over, come on down. $25 for charity. You even get to cut or shave his head. But if not, just come eat some Paisano's lunch with us and watch us shave the rooster's head with Rooster's Grooming Lounge.
I got my receipt donated to JDRF, one of the charities that that Russell is advocating here for today with the head shave. So
very nice.
Threw my $25 there. I've got my picture receipt, so I will be permitted to take a pass at the old Rooster's Dome.
Let's go to Chris in Gainesville on the Fan. Hello, Chris.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. My feelings with Rendon, my emotions is just sad, man. I'm sad to see the guy go. He was so unique to me, such a unique player, but more so a unique personality. You know, just kind of had that cold killer mentality.
Yeah.
I don't even think the guy really likes baseball. He just goes up there. He seems so relaxed. And I also like how you just don't hear any noise from him. You know, kind of like a Belichick or a Kawhi Leonard. The guy's just, you know, he's that personality, and his dynamic is so unique. And, you know, the one thing about him going to California as well, and I'm happy for him, and it's going to be fun to watch him in that lineup. But California, you know, with that contract, he's going to get jacked on taxes. I lived there for 5 years. They're going to crush him there. Yeah, he's going to take a hit there. And then he's also going to be paying about $5 a pop for, you know, 93 octane gas. So just sad to see him go, man. He was so great. I'm happy for him, but just really sad we're losing him.
Yeah, I echo all those sentiments. Really, I do. He had such a slow heartbeat. I had a great convo with now bench coach, was the first base coach last year, Tim Bogar, about him. And he talked about how unique he is because of how his emotions never change. His heartbeat doesn't change if you had him hooked up to a machine in a way that baseball players will try for years and years and years, and players in other sports like Braden Holtby will go to mental coaches and they'll spend a lot of money to try to figure out how to do that. That's Rendon's natural setting, and it's why I think he is so good. He He's unwavering. He just doesn't get up or down. He is a unique and special commodity in that regard. And he was a blast to watch here in Washington. And we'll owe him forever because without him, you don't make the playoffs and you certainly don't win a World Series. 800-636-1067. You wake up today, you find out Rendon's out. How does it change your fandom for 2020? How does it change your outlook on this club? Let's answer that question next, Danny. We haven't really done that on Grant and Danny. The holiday shopping season's here, and this year your gift can start next year's good habit. Quip is something that is sure to put a smile on everyone's mouth because it is dental care they're actually going to want to use every day. Quip is the perfect, thoughtful, and practical gift with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and toothpaste. The Quip electric toothbrush has sensitive sonic vibrations and a timer with 30-second pulses. It's going to guide your routine, and it's going to give you a Quip floss dispenser as well with a pre-marked string, and what that does is it gives you the right amount every single time. Quip delivers brush head, floss, toothpaste refills every 3 months. Prepaid deals are available so that your good habits can be maintained year-round. Join over 3 million happy Quip customers right now and get up to 20% off during Quip's only sale of the year. Go to getquip.com/2019 and save up to 20%. That's up to 20% off at getquip.com/2019 with Quip's only offer of the year. Getquip.com/2019. I did it. My wife did it. You're next. So I just bumped into one of our staffers here at 106.7, who is maybe the biggest Anthony Rendon fan I know. And for months and months, every time I see her, she goes, "What's the deal with Rendon? What's the deal with Rendon?
What's going to happen?"
She's very emotional today.
Mm-hmm.
I believe some tears were shed on her way to work, it sounds like. But what she said, I think, is the saving grace for a lot of Nats fans, and that is that Anthony Rendon did not sign in the NL East.
Mm-hmm.
I never for one second thought he would go to Philadelphia. That was, to me, just a team that was added to the fray so that he could kind of boost the value a little bit. But the Mets or the Braves, if he's in the division like Bryce and you see him all the time,
ooh,
that's your ex-wife moving in with your neighbor.
With the windows open all the time. It just sucks.
You can't have that.
I mean,
nobody wants that. You have to constantly see them. And, oh, by the way, it's you didn't want that marriage to end, which is a big difference.
Uh-huh.
It's not like you hated that ex-wife and she was terrible to you or something where you were like, I can't wait for this relationship to be over. You want the relationship to continue desperately, and
uh-huh,
she just decides she's done, and now a month later she's living with your neighbor.
Right across the street.
Instead, she moved cross-country.
Uh-huh.
And you're only going to occasionally see her if you, like, search her Facebook.
Yeah, there'll be some
you
highlights.
Seek it out.
You'll be on your fantasy team. He's part of a really good lineup, and that's all good, but it's not the same deal. It's not. It's just not rubbing it under your nose 19 times a year for the next 12 years.
Don't you think for most Nats fans that's a saving grace here?
100%. 100%. I know it is for me.
He'll get a hero's welcome because he won the World Series.
Uh-huh.
But I think the Bryce hatred is primarily because he went to Philadelphia.
I do, too.
If Bryce signed with, I'll just say, the Angels, I think the reaction, while incorrectly people viewed him as wanting out from day one, and they viewed Rendon as wanting in from day one, and I think that that's oversimplified and incorrect. And again, I think Bryce actually ultimately did more to stay here and probably wanted to be here more than Rendon did. Doesn't make Bryce a better guy. I like Rendon more as a player. I in general, I would rather hang out with Rendon for a day. I love Anthony Rendon. But I just think that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, I think they hate Harper here because it's Philadelphia. And that's it. Pretty much, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, it's pretty simple for me.
But there's also a little bit of a flawed perception on priorities, I think, maybe for those guys and what mattered and what didn't.
So what does it mean for your fandom? That's kind of the question here. That's the next level question we haven't gotten to.
It makes me very frustrated and worried about investing long-term in the ball club, knowing that next Juan Soto leaves, and after that, Trey Turner leaves. And after that, Victor Robles leaves. I mean, to me, that's the concern now. I think the non-Boris guys, Turner's the biggest of them, and then Robles, I think you have a chance to re-sign those guys. This is a complete hunch. This has no information backed on this at all. If I had to guess right now, I would say Trey Turner's the kind of would want to hit free agency. That would be my guess. Victor Robles, I think you could get a deal done with. They should try to do that immediately. I think Juan Soto is gone. I mean,
it's years away, but yeah.
He's going to get $500 million by the time he can get paid. He could break every record there is on this path that he's on. So I would say in terms of how does my fandom change or what happened yesterday, I got hit in the face with a brick that said, not the Yankees. You are not the Dodgers. The Masson deal is killing you. The fact that this is not a 40,000 people every game, even when the team is really good in September, baseball market is killing you. You are the Cleveland Indians. You are the Kansas City Royals. Mm. I don't want to be that, but that's what we are. That's kind of my thought.
Yeah, it's the cold water. It's the dose of reality, right? Where some will stay, most won't. And it's hard to criticize a group that's been competitive annually. Hard to criticize a group that's had a top 10 payroll for each of the last, eight seasons, right? So it's hard. It's cheap isn't the right word because, again, they've had a top 10 payroll despite not being top 10 in attendance. But it's just a reminder that when you're not quite the A's or the Royals and that you're a farm system or the Marlins, that you're a farm system for the big market teams, you know? But, man, you're closer to them than you are the Yankees or the Dodgers. It's a dose of reality that the times were wonderful. I loved it. I had the best time ever watching this team go through the various series that they kept winning and kept finding a way and the comebacks and the whole story. I'll never forget it. It will be near and dear to my heart until I'm dead. But, man, it was a dose of cold water. It was reality this morning.
The day Bryce ended up a Philly, I told you, I view this as a business, I think, more than most people do. Mm-hmm. Had no ill will toward him whatsoever. He took the best offer for him. The Nationals never even extended one signable offer to him. I don't know that they extended one signable offer to Anthony Rendon either. In fact, I would say that they didn't. However, while I have no ill will toward Rendon at all, I understand completely if you're a fan today, if you're upset from the team standpoint that they didn't do enough, or standpoint that Anthony Rendon didn't do enough, I think both of those can be true. Let's go to Andre in Manassas. Hey, Dre.
Hey, Dre.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I guess confused is the word that I would use for myself. I guess first things first, keep on wondering, why would you pay a player who may only start a top 35, 40 games that can make the playoffs, that type of money, and, a player who's going to play, 150 games? Just seems, I guess if the analytics dictate, but you get more money per game or per year from a player who plays a whole lot more. The other thing I would say is perhaps maybe the Nationals have been too successful too soon because, they're letting all these players walk and as if it's not a big deal. I guess the only thing I'd argue what confused me would be you're only here because of Rizzo, and if you're going to have all this confidence in Rizzo to select continuously selecting these players, which I know the man's good. I don't know the man's that good to do year in, year out. Then why is he a lame duck guy? I think I would feel a little bit more confident if they signed up Rizzo and said, okay, do your thing, baby, for the next 10 years, and we got your back. But if you're going to let all these players walk and then you have Rizzo kind of just hanging out there lame duck, then it just seems that the team has been very successful and maybe too successful too soon, too early, because I think they think things are – it seems that they believe it's always going to be like this. Yeah, it's very, very easy for us to win. But
you got to imagine Rizzo's going to get taken care of sooner than not. He was, quote-unquote, going into a lame duck before and right around opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Got a deal done. Let's go to Dan in Fairfax.
Hey, Dan.
Happy holidays, guys.
You too, buddy.
Danny, I hope you feel better, buddy.
Thank you, my friend.
I'm praying for you.
Thank you, dude.
I love Anthony Rendon. He had his best year. He's a consummate professional, but I think we kind of knew he was going to leave months ago, maybe as far back as mid-season. I was afraid that we were going to lose Strasburg as well, so I think it alleviates the pain that we were able to sign him. And who knows, maybe we'll get Josh Donaldson, but it doesn't change my fandom. I'll miss Tony Two Bags, but these things happen when you win the World Series. Thanks, gentlemen.
They do.
You're right, buddy.
This is two straight years.
If
they re-signed Bryce Harper last year, even though I didn't want them to and I thought it'd be a bad contract, but just play along with me for a second.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Today is not an angry day. Today is a sad day. It's disappointing, but I think that would honestly be my takeaway. You don't get to keep the band together after you win all the time. This is now a pattern of this is what happens. And it's way bigger than just these two guys. Now, they've been right other times.
Yes, they have.
But Jordan Zimmermann and Ian Desmond and others, there have been plenty of other times where they could have re-signed one of their own. And we work back from the result of those guys going elsewhere and getting hurt in Desmond's case or going elsewhere and underperforming in Jay Zim's case. But who's to say that would have happened if they stayed here where they were performing at a high level? This is a several-year pattern of they got no problem a lot of the time going out and spending huge money on pitchers with some deferments to come in here from outside of D.C. It's the guys that have been grinding and working here that don't always get taken care of. I think the list is basically like Zimmerman and Strasburg. Those are the two dudes who have been paid to stay in Washington. Let's go to Mike in Vienna. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
Hi. I heard your comment earlier about the sign not having a named stadium, and it got me thinking, we'll never know, but what if the Nationals had resolution with their TV contract with Mazin versus the Orioles and all the delay? If they had got that windfall of multiple hundreds of millions of dollars or whatever it is, maybe they would have been more aggressive with Rendon. Just want to get your thoughts on that.
Have to imagine they would.
Having cash on hand helps you. It just does.
I'd like to think so. But how much of this is just a principled idea? Do we know that it's just not – maybe they just don't want to spend $35 million a year on a player because they think it's bad business.
Yeah.
They'll only do that on pitchers because they're building around their rotation.
Offering Bud Black a quarter of what the market says to offer a manager had nothing to do with Masson. It just didn't. That was just – this is what they believe in. They believe this should cost more, this should cost less, we're going to do it on a nickel dime.
What was the anecdote in one of those Feluga stories where they don't like printing on certain paper or something with UPS postage? Remember that?
Yeah. What was that story?
I don't remember, but it was something ridiculous for like a million-billion-dollar entity. A million-billion, I'm sure that's what it is.
Million-billion.
But you could sell your organization for billions. And they're like worried about postage. It was something very weird in the Washington Post where it was like,
see if I can find that.
Yeah, you dig it up. We can talk about it next segment. But would they have signed Rendon if they had more money and the Masson deal was better in their favor? Probably. I would like to think so, but who knows? Here's what I can tell you. I would like to know what it would be like if they actually had, like most teams, actual TV money coming in, because they wouldn't be losing as much money as they have in bad years if they've lost money, and they'd be making more money if they're making money. That's the name of the game, right? You can invest more in your ball club, theoretically. Grant and Danny on the Fan, 30 minutes from now, we're headed downstairs. You can come to 1015 Half Street and watch us shave Chris Russell's head, or maybe even grab the clippers yourself and get at some of those hairs. At noon, we head downstairs. It is time on this Thursday to get ready to shave Chris Russell's head. Now, I will tell you, Danny, we have not seen him yet. It's 11:35, 25 minutes before go time. I just texted him and asked him where he was. I haven't gotten a response, and we have not seen Chris Russell.
Are you guys starting to get worried?
I am.
I'm slightly nervous. Worried might be strong, but for the first time all week, it just dawned on me that there's a small possibility he no-shows. I don't know if anyone's going to come listener-wise. A couple of people have told us they're going to be coming. But we do have food coming for listeners. Paisanos has stepped up to the plate.
It'll just be a Grant and Danny pizza party at that point.
Which is fun. But my concern is if a few people do come for lunch and they donate to charity and they're here to shave the rooster's head and Rooster's Grooming Lounge is here to shave him, then I guess Dar's getting a haircut. You don't have to shave your head.
Well, I need a zero guard. Okay, I need that done, so maybe I'll just
we'll
go downstairs.
Take advantage of his services.
So at least Roosters will be here for you. But I think there is a small chance that Chris Russell may not show up.
Because we all have kind of agreed that he's going to do something. There's going to be some sort of sandbagging. There's going to be some sort of ruining.
He's not just going to let this happen.
And we're trying to figure out what that is, and that would certainly qualify if he just doesn't post. And either hems and haws about traffic or how busy everything is, and I had to write 10 articles, like whatever it is, you know?
He's just going to say you can't find parking down here.
He'll call us at 201 and say, sorry, guys, couldn't find parking. I was circling for an hour and a half.
I was circling.
Didn't know it was today.
But we're supposed to take the clippers to his head at noon. We have been talking Anthony Rendon, expectations for 2020 and how much did they change with him going to the Angels. So I think this is to be determined because we don't know what they're going to do at third.
Right.
If you can sign Josh Donaldson, you're a 90-plus win team after bringing back Steven Strasburg. You're a playoff team. If you can make a trade for Chris Bryant, unlikely, but worth talking about.
Sure, kick it around.
Somewhat fun. You're a 90-plus win team. You probably don't miss much of a beat, to be completely honest with you, as an MVP-caliber player would come in here and one of the five best players at his position. One of the five most valuable players in baseball, actually, since 2015, statistically, according to WAR. Again, I don't know how realistic that is. I've got a list of guys we'll get into tomorrow that I've put together who you can trade for. lesser studs, but promising young players, ball clubs that would be willing maybe to trade them for various reasons. They could come in here, hit for some power, play decent third base, and I think you could still be in the upper 80s. Now you got to turn around like you did when you lost Bryce, the difference being there is no Soto and there is no plus outfield ready to replace him. Third base is now a chasm. Someone asked me this morning here at the station, who's his replacement? I said, they don't have one.
Yeah, like, you don't have that.
Oh.
Last year it was a combination of Juan Soto's development and Adam Eaton, who was a plus right fielder, right?
But spend $20 million on a couple of relievers, maybe even three relievers, and upgrade your bullpen and make that a stronger area of your ball club. They're not going to bring in a fifth starter, Mike Rizzo told reporters yesterday. They have faith in the trio of Joe Ross, Eric Fetty, and Austin Voth.
I got no problem with that, by the way.
No issue. That's fine. Not a problem. But you now have money to spend. So maybe get creative and you can bring in someone to play first base who hits a lot of home runs.
Yeah. I mean, right now the free agent candidates are not exciting. I mean, outside of Donaldson. I like Donaldson maybe more than maybe it sounds like more than you do.
No, I love Donaldson, but I doubt that.
So he's been injured a couple times. Last year, a healthy season, you see what he does. He's a mid-9 OPS guy, 37 homers, plays a pretty decent third base.
Yeah, I've wanted them. That's been my plan B since April. So I'm all on board with Donaldson. Do I want to spend 4 years worth of money on Donaldson? I would prefer to not do that. I'd like to probably give him 3 years, but not really
maybe
sure
what
it would take.
Yeah.
The trade market, to me, is what's most intriguing. But if you lost both Rendon and Strasburg, you're not a playoff team anymore. By re-signing Strasburg, you are a decent third base acquisition and a better bullpen away from being right back in the mix as a wild card type team trying to fight with the Braves, who are a little bit better than you, for the NL East. Carlos, Alexandria, what's up?
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, this is why I like your program so much. You guys don't go to the knee-jerk. You go right into the nuance. And so bear with me here in a second. Just as an aside here, by the way, Rendon is going to earn his gold glove next year in a lot of 14-11 games with screaming line drives coming at him with that pitching staff.
That's right.
So, you know, in moments like this, it tells us again that you know, loyalty doesn't mean anything to the players and to the clubs. We've known that for a long time, but we sort of tax fan loyalty in moments like this. You know, can you remain loyal and can you do that? And that sort of thing. And you know what, Grant, you talked about something that Anthony said last year, and I loved Anthony. We have seats right on the third baseline there. He was engaging with the fans. He was everything you want in a player. But it kind of really ticked me off when he said that, in September, you know, now maybe the fans will show up. You know, he's going to be making next year more, he and Trout, more at bat than the average median income in this country. And every time we go to a ball game there, it's $200 or $250. And, you know, and we have to keep, we always have to keep that in mind. And I think sometimes that gets lost in this progression to, well, you know, it's just a business.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I get it. And I know how fans feel in terms of the money and what players make. It's not apples to apples. I don't like comparing what players make in their profession to what we make, because what I would tell you is, if you do something better than 99.9% of people on the planet, that is a trait that matters, and it you'd get paid a bleep ton of money to.
Mm-hmm.
I also point to actors and actresses who make $20 million a movie or $2 million a TV show for a couple of hours or 30 minutes of entertainment, and these guys play three-hour ball games 162 times. So I'm not going to play the game of how dare you question me being at the ballpark when you make $245 million. What I will say was, whether you think it's fair or not, that's your prerogative, and I'm not knocking you. You have your opinion, and that's cool. It did bother him. Now, is the Angels' atmosphere better? Are they going to fill the park every game? I don't know that. But I know that we've talked to him enough to know he was bothered by that, and he publicly stated it multiple times late this season in a contract.
The one phrase that I like, though, that the caller just mentioned is you do tax fan loyalty with these sorts of things.
Yeah.
Where it's your guy that you love. I bought the jersey, or I go to games, I go to see the player.
How many times do you have to get, fold that jersey up and send it to the op shop before you start going, damn.
Right. I don't get that player anymore. I love that player. He's gone. That can happen sometimes, but when it happens a lot, that's a great phrase, taxing fan loyalty.
Yeah, well said. Kevin in Arlington.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
So I just want to sort of branch out a little bit, you know, because we're, you know, we love the Nets, we love the Caps, so we used to love the Skins. We're a D.C. sports fan base. And can you guys think of a fan base has been more tortured over money in the last 5 years, going back to the Kirk Cousins decision, going back to the Aaron Trotz decision, going back to Harper and now Soto. I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, I don't know if you guys are old enough to really remember, but Jack Kent Cook owned a sports team as a vanity piece. He would spend anything to the best. And we are so far from having that in ownership now. I think we had it with Snyder before Bruce Allen, but I guess that's my frustration. It's not, we're not a small market like Kansas City, and yet here we are. It's really frustrating.
That's kind of my thought, man. I echo the sentiment, Kevin. I think you're on it. It's annoying to me. This is the nation's capital. It's D.C. But as much as I want to pretend like we are one of the big heavyweights in Major League Baseball from a market standpoint, because we've been over the luxury tax at one point, it's just not that way, and it's pretty clear. We will get you a double play ahead of the noon shaving of Chris Russell as we get ready to head downstairs in 15 minutes. By the way, if you're curious, no sign of Slash still. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Chris Russell is going to have his head shaved because the Redskins won't win 7 games at noon on Grant and Danny today. That is the plan. We have not seen him yet, but we're expecting that in the next 10 minutes he will show up and we will go downstairs where Paisanos will be provided for our listeners. You can come by 1015 Half Street, and with a $25 donation to charity, you can get a snip or a clip of that hair from Chris Russell. We will preview Thursday night football, the Ravens and the Jets, Lamar Jackson playing through quad pain or discomfort. Evan Abrams of the Action Network is going to give us the betting lines and how much they've changed with Jackson's health at 1:45 today. But right now it is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Danny, and a rare opportunity for me tonight. Very rare opportunity.
Tell me about it.
My wife's
lady wife
brother. Very nice that we have a couple of local siblings in the area.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's brother hit us up out of the blue. This was maybe yesterday, the day before.
Okay.
And he said, hey, I got nothing going on Thursday night. What if I came over and sat at the house while the baby slept?
What a gift.
And you guys went and did whatever you want to do.
That is awesome. That's awesome.
How about that?
That's great.
So we're in the process of making some plans now. But it's just a rare get-out-of-the-house situation. And it's one of those things, if you don't have kids, you know, you used to talk about this, and I would kind of just scoff.
You would laugh
like,
at me.
What a dumb topic. You like, know, what a dumb
this
thing.
This is what you're excited about?
Right? Like, this really is going to change your day in some way? Danny, I'm moved to emotion.
I'm telling you, man.
I'm happy.
President Reagan will be supervised. Secret Service will be there. Good to go.
Even though we take the president with us and we still go out to eat from time to time, which is my favorite thing to do, it's an ordeal. There's these packets that you have to squeeze and feed her. There's taking her and changing her. She's crying in like the common family bathroom as I'm trying to change her.
Mm-hmm.
I got a stroller. I'm wheeling around the joint. I'm putting her little carrier, car seat in the booth. Everything's a pain in the butt.
It's 100% of the time that they soil their diaper.
You're just praying that she's not making a lot of noise. You're just praying that she doesn't cry. You're worried the whole time that you're ruining the person next to you.
You're on a shot clock. You're like, where's the waiter? Hurry the bleep up. Let's get food in. 100%.
Big time.
It's really nice. It's really nice. You're going to dress up? You going fancy? You going to do something cool?
Definitely not. No, I don't really have that in me.
Oh, okay.
By the way, I'm just seeing pictures now of the stage. It looks hilarious. There's a huge chair with like black curtain draped over it, essentially. It's very comfortable looking. Nice chair for the rooster to have his head shaved in. Now, there's no rooster to be found, by the way, but it looks great. And Rooster's Grooming Lounge.
Last tweet, a little over an hour ago, congratulating, and this is, by the way, I'd echo this, congratulating Nick Sundberg on his nomination for Walter Payton Man of the Year. That is awesome. Our boy Nick Sundberg does an incredible amount of wonderful charity work with his Loads of Love Foundation. Well deserved, well earned. Awesome dude. But that's the last rooster tweet. So he's gone dark.
Shout out to Sundberg for all the work he does.
Seriously.
And you know who else is always involved in the community? Is Darius Geis. I saw another video, even after his injury here, where he was hanging out with a bunch of kids sitting around eating pizza the other day. This was Tuesday after the MCL injury. And it just seems like I have no idea what those pre-draft concerns and all that stuff was. Since he got drafted, all he's done is impact people's lives positively in the community. get hurt a lot, and when he plays, play brilliantly. I'm a Darius Geis fan through and through. I want that guy on the field because he's great. But, man, if he hasn't been really, really good off the field, and supposedly that was a concern.
Yeah, it's funny to think of it now, right? Remember that
Why? Because
that
he plays video games? Is
Who
that
knows?
What we're worried about?
Was it Mayock or whoever had that? Like, there's something out there that's going to embarrass the kid or whatever it was. Remember that turn of a phrase? Just haven't heard anything about it. Always been as excellent. Always been as a great guy with bad injury luck.
What do you got for your double play, Danny?
Just that this, whatever Jason Bishop had or has, I got it. I'm just so miserable. I'm so miserable. I know I'm whining and terrible to deal with. It's not fun. But this, what do you want to call it, sinus, this cold, I don't know what it is. I just want to go home.
I feel bad because I'm being a little bit of the guy who's, like, making you feel worse about being sick. And I don't.
You
that's not
feel,
my intention.
You shouldn't feel bad at all.
But, like,
you've done nothing
wrong. You came to work sick in a very tiny room, and you, like, to the point where you can't talk during breaks, and you just stare out the window, and you're kind of moping around a little
yes.
bit, and it's frustrating to be near you.
100%.
And it's even more frustrating knowing I'm probably going to get sick.
Well,
but I'm trying my best not to, like, wear a mask in front of you. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. I want you to know you've done nothing wrong. I'm such a baby. I mean, my wife makes so much fun of me when I'm, like, the slightest bit under the weather. She calls me all sorts of names, and rightfully so. I am a whiny little child when it comes to feeling the slightest bit off. I'm pouting. I'm moping around. I just want to go home and go to bed. That's all I want to do. I want to take a 200-degree bath, singeing my skin, clear out my sinuses, and I want to go home and sleep.
How much of your reasoning for coming today was so that you could help shave Chris Russell's
head? About 50%. And also, it's like, if it's because I think it's just a cold. I can't just take days off. I don't have that many days off. I'm already using
Probably
a bunch
have
around
a lot
Christmas.
Of days off.
I don't really. I'm using a bunch around Christmas. I can't, like. I have this, like, thing where I feel like I need to be at work, you know? And I feel
have
like,
that thing, too.
Well, I feel like nobody believes me when I'm like, I'm under the weather, my throat's sore. It sounds like, you know, I mean, I'm still used to people not trusting me. Like, I've never had a job once where I could be like, I'm working from home. Nobody is ever going to believe me that I'm doing that.
I can't believe it. It's finally here. Thursday, 11:55. 5 minutes from now, we will welcome you back. We're going downstairs.
Going down.
To our live studios here at 1015 Half Street. If you are near the facility, come on by and check out Chris Russell getting his head shaved for charitable purposes because he made a terrible declaration about the Redskins. You are listening to The Fan.
Well, I hope Russell's car didn't break down. I hope he's here. If you'd gone to Ted Brett Ford, his car wouldn't have broken down. He'd be A-okay. Go to Ted Brett Ford right now. Ted Brett's built for the holidays, and the Built for the Holidays sales event is happening now at Ted Brett Ford in Fairfax and Chantilly with an estimated savings of about 20% on select Ford models. You earn complimentary maintenance through Ford Pass rewards. It's an awesome setup, man. You got to go see my guys at Ted Brett Ford. All they want to do is make you happy. They've made me happy three different times. That's right, three-time Ted Brett customer. Racha! Up to $17,400 below MSRP. I'm going to say that number again because you're probably confused. $17,400 below the MSRP on a 2019 F-150 truck. Your F-150 HQ, Ted Brett Ford. And you don't pay them anything for 60 days. More on that in a second. How about $14,900 on a 2019 Ford F-250 SD? Again, no payments for 60. $10,800 off the MSRP on a 2019 Ford Ranger. Now, that whole no payments for 60 thing, pretty much every car on the lot because they've been in business for 60 years. Did I mention that? Ted Brett Ford's been crushing this for 60 years. That's six decades almost, right? I can't do the math. Go see him. That's it. Perfect. Philly. Click away at TedBrett.com. When you go, just tell him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.